Oh, you didn't know? PowerHouse.com. Proudly brings to you, Oh, You Didn't Know? We're having a little bit of technical difficulties to start, so give me just one more moment. All right, Sam, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. All right, Sam, are you with us? I'm having a little bit of a echo. Are you having an echo at all, Sam?
I hear you after you speak. I can hear you again.
Yeah, I was trying to use Skype. Okay. And then that wasn't working or something like that. But hopefully we can get this figured out. How are we doing, Sam?
Doing good, my man. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. You're hearing that, right? That echo?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Let me see what I can do.
It's a little bit of a delayed feedback kind of thing.
Let me see if I can fix this. Using this. All right. That'll block out here. I don't know if that just did, but. All right.
Call back in?
I'm going to try to see if I can put this on a commercial while I figure this out.
All right, man.
Sam, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Sam, can you hear me?
Yeah, you couldn't hear me before?
Yeah, I heard it. It's like a delayed feedback.
All right, I don't know what to do about this.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, let's move on here. What if I do that? Do you still hear a feedback?
It's delayed, so, I mean, if we keep talking, we won't hear it.
All right. Well, this is the final episode of Oh, You Didn't Know for 2012. Unfortunate start to the show. Hopefully it will get better as the show goes on. But it's been a great year for WWE, and John JCD, the Ass Man, will be joining us a little bit late here in the show. We may get some more callers as well. Again, the number to call in is 760-888-5749. So, Sam, you and I both attended TLC in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, sir, at the beautiful Barclays Center.
Exactly. What did you think for WWE's first event at the Barclays Center?
Well, there's no doubt that the crowd was very, very hot, very excited, very vocal. Sometimes, especially in our section, a little too vocal, nonsensical vocal.
Well, we've seen that many times in the past going to shows, especially recently.
Yeah, some people will try to get a chance of anything just to get heard. But awesome show. Venue was really nice. It's obvious that, you know, when, you know, the next time that they hold an event there, it's going to be close to, if not fully sold out. So, I'm sure that they were very happy. I read that it was a sellout. It was what they wanted. And,
you read that it was a sellout.
Yeah. According to them, it was a sellout. There was about, approximately 16,000 people there or so. So
it seemed packed. It seemed like everyone, pretty much every seat was taken.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. And you know, I mean, the crowd definitely was into the show. So that always helps.
All right, Sam. What was your favorite match of the night from TLC?
Probably the six man TLC match, just because it really had an old school feel to it. It's rare that they do the tornado tag, let alone a TLC tornado tag, where everyone's, you know, where there's no tags needed and everyone's out there at the same time. I really like those. They used to do them a lot more in the past. I haven't seen them in a while, so I'm glad they did that. I'm also glad that they added the stipulation that you had to be pinned or submitted in order to win, because we already had a ladder match later in the night. So I'm glad they did it that way. And it was just, like, really good. It was cool to see the Shield in their first big match. You know, they obviously are players, so, you know, it was nice to see them get their feet wet. And, just a lot of spots, and I would have rather Kane take the fall, but, what can you do?
Absolutely. I think John may be joining us now. Is this the Ass Man?
Cue the music.
I'm an Ass Man. Yeah, I'm an Ass Man.
All right, welcome, John. We had a little bit of a late start to the show. Had an having some technical difficulties. I don't know if you hear the delay on your end.
No.
Okay, good. Very good. We're just talking about TLC since Sam and I were there in attendance, talking about the what we considered the best match of the night, the six-man tag team match with Team Hell No and Ryback against The Shield. What was your thoughts on that match?
I actually would go as far as say late candidate for match of the year.
Absolutely. I've heard a number of people with that claim. And it's unfortunate that Slammies were just the next day, it was the next day, because TLC had a lot of situations that could have possibly even won Slammies.
Yeah, definitely. That six-man was nuts.
Absolutely. I'm just letting some people on Twitter know that they can call in and join in on the conversation. But, John, you have some news and rumors for us?
Give me a second. I'm actually just getting back to my house now, so I'm just getting myself together.
No problem. This past Raw was very, very eventful. We had a lot going on this past Raw with the return of the Nature Boy Ric Flair. We've been waiting so long. It's almost like WWE's finally giving us all the things that we've been asking for. People have been asking for Dean Ambrose for a while, and we've just recently got Dean Ambrose on TV, and people were waiting for Ric Flair to make his return to WWE, and now we have that, and of course the debut of Big E Langston. Sam, what do you think of Big E?
I was kind of surprised that they brought him in so soon, especially since he recently won the NXT title from Seth Rollins, and especially because they just brought up the three top studs from NXT. They just brought them up. Now they're bringing up, the next big stud all of a sudden. It's exciting. He's got a great look for sure. It's interesting to see what they're going to do with them. Obviously, I guess maybe AJ will be his manager or something, but it's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of things going on with this. I mean, some people are calling him Rye Black. Because he reminds us so much of Ryback. Yeah, I wrote my usual top five questions left unanswered after Raw, which you can find most Monday nights after Raw on Bleacher Report. And I got many, many comments, and all they said was Rye Black.
That's great.
That was the entire comment. I like the grouping of Rye Black, AJ, and Dolph Ziggler. We're starting to see these new three-man groups. We got 3MB, we got The Shield, we have now this threesome of AJ, Dolph Ziggler, and Rye Black, Big E Langston. So I think that a lot of people wanted to see Stables come in and rejoin WWE. And we may not be seeing huge stables, huge groups, but we are seeing these three-person groups. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's a good way, to mix and match guys, find out who's over, who's going to fall into roles, and it makes everything more meaningful. Now it makes, if let's say Ambrose is going to be the main guy of the Shield, and Ambrose is going to feud, go through Rollins, let's say, to get to Ambrose, and because Rollins is booked so strong.
Rollins does look good, but you're absolutely right. It seems like Ambrose is going to be the main guy.
Is going to happen.
I'm having a little trouble hearing John. Sam, are you still with us?
I'm going to call you in from my house.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Tell the little chop.
All right, so John will come back in just a moment. But Sam, what do you think of the three-person groups in WWE right now?
It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, the 3MB, like, you know, I didn't really expect much from them. They haven't really done much, you know, I mean, except kind of, like, get the heel turn or get the face turn of Alberto Del Rio going. Other than that, you know, they've just been kind of annoying. You know, the...
Well, it's interesting
that you bring up...
Sam, it's interesting that you bring up the Alberto Del Rio face turn because Alberto Del Rio wrote on Twitter that he's not turning into a good guy. He doesn't want everyone to think that he's becoming a good guy. He's just saving or helping his best friend.
Yeah, no,
the
faces who pretend to not be good guys are, you know, a lot of the times are the ones who people cheer for more, i.e. Randy Orton, you know, CM Punk, you know, like, you know, that's why Cena gets booed all the time because he's like, you know, he's like the blatant good guy, you know, like, no, you know, nobody wants the cookie cutter good guy, you know, to, you know, people want to cheer, they want the bad guy, you know, who to cheer for. And I think, you know, we haven't heard him speak yet. Del Rio hasn't got a chance to cut a promo yet after his turn, but, you know, I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see if he can pull it off,
you make some good points, Sam. I do agree that Alberto Del Rio is kind of playing this into a game. He doesn't want people to think that he wants to be a good guy, but that could cause people to cheer him even more. And like you said, we do need to hear him give a promo and see what kind of reaction he gets and see what he says about this. We do have another caller, area code 443. You're now on with PWP Radio.
Hey, Seth. It's Austin. I'm calling in.
Austin. Very good to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Austin is a friend of Graham, GSM Matthews. He and I and Graham all spoke recently on Graham's show, Save Us GSM. Welcome to the show, Austin. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Austin, what do you think about the Alberto Del Rio situation? Is he turning face or is he just faking us out with this Twitter message? What do you think?
The Twitter message is really interesting. I think he is turning face, but I think they're going to keep delaying it a little bit. I think they're going to tease it like they did at TLC and this past week was Raw, and they're going to kind of build up to an ultimate real face turn.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably going to be a slow thing, just like they were trying to do with The Miz. And John, The Miz and Alberto Del Rio are kind of similar in that they were these heels who you really couldn't imagine them being faces, and now it seems like WWE is just trying out to see if they could be faces. What do you think?
Well, here's the difference with what they need to do with Del Rio that they have done with Miz almost nauseating. Miz is trying too hard. It's just, you know, it was a great idea, and the turn itself was done well. But now he's just trying too hard. Del Rio is a different personality. You just got to have Del Rio go out there, do his thing. I would do something similar to what they did with Miz, have someone approach Del Rio in the back and be like, hey, what's your deal, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then that turns into a feud, you know. I don't know, maybe you could do it with, like, Barrett or something, and just slowly build him from there. You know, don't try to overkill, because this attempt to try to turn Miz into, like, Rowdy Piper, it's not working. And it's going to get to a point where as fast as Miz was getting cheered, he's going to start getting booed again by people. And then they're going to have a problem on their hands is, do you turn him back or not?
Right. Well, I think a big issue is that you're right that Miz is trying very hard, but they're only having him talk. He was always the one to introduce the partner for him and Del Rio. His only times on TV are doing Miz TV. He's not in any matches. He's not in a feud. I think he needs to be in a feud.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you want to go, the 3MB thing is a good way to start. That's fine. Maybe they'll do something with what happened with, you know, Alberto and Tommy Dreamer. Maybe they'll, you know, they'll feud with the Shield maybe as, you know, some guys to get the Shield over. But, yeah, you're right. He needs something like that. And the problem is, though, when he did wrestle a few matches going into Survivor Series, he lost. So now it's like, all right, you know, is he turning face to be a jobber to the heels, or is he going to turn face and actually do something?
Right. I was surprised. I thought that he was going to end up winning at Survivor Series with or without Team Hell No. So although, you know, it was good to build up Dolph Ziggler and give him the sole surviving win, I was a little surprised.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, I went with Ziggler winning, but I also would have thought he would have survived. You know, he could have survived too, just to solidify his run as a face.
Right. Austin or Sam, any other take on Del Rio, Miz, and these face turns?
I hope that they don't, you know, like you kind of said, I hope that they don't, you know, just like all out make him a face. Because, I mean, if you guys recall, I mean, you know, I'm going to briefly bring up TNA. If you guys recall, you know, when they turned Bobby Roode heel, that was such a waste of a good opportunity to have like a slow build to him turning heel. You know, he was one of the top faces, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he hits, you know, James Storm with the beer bottle, and all of a sudden, he's a heel. Like, they could have, you know, planned that out so much. You know, you just hope that, you know, I hope that WWE, you know, kind of takes their time with it and, you know, makes people kind of want him to, you know, become a face, you know, with, you know, with the developing storyline. So I hope that's what happens.
Right. Austin, yep. Anything else?
Not much. I agree with what you guys said. I'm liking this team with Miz. I hope they kind of keep this up as a way to slowly get these guys into the face role. I think it's working out pretty well. So I'm looking forward to both of these guys and their future.
Yeah, you know, they'll probably continue to add third members each time. I know Vince McMahon and WWE want to bring back some of the legends, some of the old-timers to, you know, make these sporadic appearances. And that should continue until they find a solid third member. And maybe it could even be Ricardo Rodriguez. And then you got another three-man group. But in that case, John, you want to bring up a story you got?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. Story that broke yesterday, Shelton Benjamin granted his release from ROH. Looks like he's going to be coming back. The deal's not done yet, but one of the reasons why he went asked for the release and was granted it was he said he was negotiating. So it looks like that's going to be a done deal anytime soon. John Morrison has stated in interviews he's looking to be back in about 6 months, so that would be around WrestleMania time. Tommy Dreamer got a little banged up in the back during that altercation with Shield. Posted some
picture, I think, on Twitter.
Yeah, from everything I've been able to gather, and this is 100% legit. Dreamer is actually a little pissed off, which is a shame because everyone kind of expected that Dreamer would be back. He's been up to Titan Tower doing some stuff for whenever the network launches, but some of his last tweets were that they better flip the bill for that, for whatever his ER, his medical bills were. And as far as Flair goes, Flair is back. Basically, they decided to pull the trigger on bringing him back because nothing has happened in that lawsuit since August. So the fear of, you know, TNA doing anything with the lawsuit kind of went out the window the day Flair's profile got removed last week from TNA's website. So look for Flair probably around the January 7th first live Raw of 2013.
Yeah, those are some interesting names that you mentioned. It's interesting because I just saw Shelton Benjamin at Ring of Honor Final Battle. And so it came to a surprise to me that right afterwards...
And they went over,
you know,
right?
He was released. Yeah.
you know,
it was a little
surprising that, you know, you would have thought they'd put over, they fought, what, Titus and Rhett Titus
and
it was against
BJ?
Titus, right? And BJ Whitmer, right?
BJ,
yeah, you would have thought they would have
exactly
put those guys over if, you know, he was on their way out. So, yeah, it was a little surprising.
And then you also mentioned John Morrison, and you said maybe he's expected maybe to be up there around WrestleMania time. But I know that Sam and I are both attending Pro Wrestling Syndicate WrestleMania weekend, and John Morrison will be there going one-on-one with La Parca. So,
oh, nice.
It'll be interesting to see what the timing is if John Morrison does make a return to WWE, because he is doing these independent wrestling events from time to time.
Hmm. Okay, well, yeah, 6 months would be right around then. Right around then or there or May or early summer, so, you know, because it all worked out time-wise.
Six months would be more like May or June, so maybe after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Sam, what do you think about these names coming back to WWE?
Yeah, I mean, last I heard, I guess there's been some more notes, because last I heard Shelton was, you know, the last tweet I heard of his was that there was no negotiations, but I didn't realize that he had requested his release. So, I mean, you know, I mean, hopefully he can like get him, you know, if he does get re-signed. Hopefully he can, you know, do something new, because, I mean, that's kind of why he got, you know, released, or I don't remember if he requested his release or if he just got involuntarily released way back, you know, a couple years ago. But, you know, I mean, there was just nothing for him, you know. I mean, like, it's weird. Like, he's got charisma, but he doesn't have charisma. I mean, he's phenomenal in the ring. There's no question about that. But, you know, you just hope that they can find some kind of, you know, some kind of entertaining storyline for him if he does end up coming back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, when he was in WWE, he really stayed in the mid-card. He never really went above it, never reached
right.
main event status. So that's a very good point. Austin, what's your take on these former superstars possibly back in WWE?
I'll start with Morrison. I was never a fan of Morrison, but mostly because he obviously has zero mic skills. But you can't... What?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still here.
But you can't deny that the guy is good in the ring. He's very athletic, so he could have good matches in the mid card. I would never want to see him in the main event. Like he was at Extreme Rules, I think 2 years ago, with Cena and Miz. But and then with Flair, I'm psyched about Flair being back. I think that's fantastic. So.
Yeah, I mean, I read that it wasn't a done deal that Flair was going to be back long term. That as of right
yeah,
now,
I read, he's, I read that he's on a per shot. I read that he's on like a per appearance deal right now. I read that he doesn't have a contract per se. He's kind of just on a, you know, a per shot deal right now.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, John.
I've heard if he's not on a deal, it's close. And here's the thing that's most interesting about it is up until 2-3 weeks ago, there was always no room for him to wrestle. Apparently, it's anything's on the table. So
yeah,
you may see some with Flair and Punk. You might.
I'm surprised because after the whole Jerry Lawler incident, I know Vince McMahon and even Ric Flair, I think, was on a podcast or speaking with someone about, you know, after the Lawler situation, he was going to be more hesitant to get in the ring and get physical. And Mitch McMahon
yeah.
was going to be more hesitant as well.
Yeah, I saw that too. But, you know, I mean, I didn't take the post-Raw video seriously. But then I heard something yesterday that basically anything's fair game. I mean, there's no guarantee it's going to happen, but it's not where it was even, you know, right when they were talking about bringing him back originally, where it was going to be no, 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 no. Now it's like, you know what, we'll see what happens.
Right. All right. Well, we'll have to see what happens with Flair. I know many people, including myself, would like to see him back as a general manager or a manager to someone. So we'll have to see. But what else you got for us, John?
Okay. Had that. Well, that was kind of everything in one shot.
yeah, okay.
You know, I'm sure everyone heard about THQ today filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
There is. This does not hurt WWE 14. They've been told to go ahead with production. As far as what happens the year after that, that's where there might be a problem. But I'm sure, knowing how Vince is and everything like that, they'll have their next replacement lined up probably before that game's even launched. If they were smart, I don't know if they can get there. EA would be the best way to go.
Yeah, you're probably right about EA. And I feel like there's plenty of time that WWE will make sure that they're prepared with another group to go forward.
Yeah, especially
with
since they're
game.
Allowed to go forward. They're going to get WWE 14 out later next year. That will not be affected. You know, you never know. Maybe someone buys THQ, keeps it as is. You know, and in that case, then there's no effect, negative effect or anything. So, you know, we'll see what happens over the next couple of months. There's tons of time before they need anything
Absolutely.
In place for that.
One thing I wanted to ask you guys about was this Monday's Raw is not live. And I can't remember the last time Raw was ever not live. What's your take on
England.
That? We'll start with John.
The England shows, the international shows are never live.
That's true. But those were only delayed by a few hours, right?
Yeah, they were always taped like Monday afternoon.
Right. This is, you know, days in advance.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal because of the show that it is, to me at least. I've read the spoilers. I'm not going to say anything for anybody that hasn't.
Please don't.
No, I'm not. It's not a show that, you know, you're not going to miss storyline plots. And, you know, you have to accept what it is. I mean, just like Tribute to the Troops is not a storyline show. So
right.
It's, you know, it's nice that they, you know, they're going to put one show on for the holidays. It's fine that it's, you know, it's just 3 hours. So, you know,
That's unfortunate to me because they're coming off of this past week's Raw, which was very good, one of the best Raws in recent times, with the Slammies and the return of Ric Flair and the debut of Biggie Langston. And even Super SmackDown, I thought, was great. I normally don't even watch SmackDown, and I thought it was phenomenal. I thought that they really did progress with storylines, that they really did feature the guys, people that they should feature. Austin, what's your take on Raw not being live after this week?
I'm probably not even going to watch Raw on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. I mean, like, I don't expect many people to. On Christmas Eve, I don't know why. I'm not going to watch it. I got stuff. New Year's Eve, I'm not going to watch it. I probably won't even start watching Raw again until the new year. So, I mean, John said, I haven't read the spoilers, but I've read, like, a preview. And from what it seems, it's not a very, like, storyline-wise good show. Like, not much storyline continuity, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, but I feel like WWE has had live shows on holidays before, so why
yeah,
are they doing this time?
I don't know. They definitely have. They usually do have them live, especially like on the like Labor Day and Memorial Day, which are always on Mondays. They always have the live show then. But I mean, I guess they're from what I gather, you know, they're. I mean, I kind of don't mind the fact that it's not a live show, just for the fact that, you know, I mean, like, I'm glad that they did this so that they can, you know, it allows the superstars to be with their families on the holidays, which is a nice thing.
you know, so taping a show allows them to do that. And also, I mean, they know that, you know, these shows are not going to get good ratings, being that they're on, you know, two of the biggest holidays of the year. So I guess they're figuring, you know, let's save our, you know, big guns for when, you know we have a chance of getting a good rating.
That's a good point. I think that go ahead, John.
The last time this happened was 07 into 08, and when New Year's and Christmas Eve were on a Monday. The Christmas Eve show was nothing. The New Year's Eve show, they were smart in the sense that they still taped it, and they did Triple H Flair when Flair had the retirement gimmick going on. And I think the key was it was also for Triple H's spot in the Rumble. The show itself was very good. The rating was disastrous. And it was two of their more important storylines on the show. And I think they also had Kennedy go over Shawn Michaels in an Armageddon rematch. No one watched the show. So
yeah,
they probably
weird.
Looked at that and realized, you know what, why put anything of value on if no one's going to watch it? You know,
right.
what good is follow-up to the Big E Langston storyline or the Shield or Ziggler if
right.
people that tune in January 7th are going to be like, what the hell is this? At least you can remember what you saw last night, what you saw Monday night, and that will be what's fresh in your mind.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Do you think that WWE Raw is going to lose some mm-hmm. momentum that they've built with this past Monday and Super SmackDown? Are they going to lose momentum having one or two weak episodes of Raw?
No, because they'll pump everything on the website, and you know they'll pump every segment on January 7th. I guarantee you will have some sort of recap video with it. I don't think they will. You know, especially you know what they started last night with the Ryback Punk match for. You know, teasing it for January 7th, it's not locked in yet, and they're being smart with that by not saying it, but they're going to tease it, so you're going to get people to tune in right there for that alone, and then, oh, by the way, I want to see what's going on with Langston, I want to see what's going on with Ziggler, the Shield, and stuff like that, so they've already got the hook in for that January 7th show. Will Ryback Punk happen?
Well, they said that the first... Which episode are Ryback and Punk facing, January 7th?
They're teasing it, but it's not confirmed.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have not announced it officially for January 7th.
Why do you think that?
I think they're going to save it for the 20th anniversary show on the 14th. I think they'll tease it to get you to tune in. And then they'll get the match booked that night on the 7th for the 14th.
I don't understand why they are doing this way, because we all know that The Rock is getting his shot at Royal Rumble. No one's going to seriously think that Ryback's going to win the title before Rumble, so why not wait and allow Ryback to get his shot after the Rumble, unless one of you guys think that Ryback's going to win the Rumble. In fact,
I don't think he's going to.
Let's go around and place our predictions for who's winning the Rumble match. Austin, let's start with you.
I'm going with Ryback. I think he's going to win the Rumble. He'll face Big Show at Mania, like rumors have said that. I think it'll happen. So go over huge, and then possibly a Ziggler faction to make it so everybody looks strong after Mania, and then you have a Ryback Ziggler feud.
Yeah, I have read that is a possibility. They do want to see Ryback have a big moment in Shell Shock Big Show, but that does mean the Big Show will be holding on to the title for quite some time. Sam, who do you think is winning the Rumble?
I want to say Ryback because it makes sense, but, like, I feel like WWE has been, you know, like, they they've been trying to go against what everyone thinks is going to happen just to keep, you know, that element of surprise. Like last year, everyone was really expecting Jericho to win the Rumble, but then Sheamus came out and won it, you know. Like, so I want to say Ryback, but, like, I think everyone thinks that, so Vince is gonna make a swerve and have someone that no one really expects to win it. And, you know, but personally, I want to see Ryback Big Show at WrestleMania, but that's just my opinion.
All right, John? We got
John Cena.
Ryback.
John Cena.
John Cena. You still think that's how Cena is going to end up at the main event at Mania with either The Rock or Punk or both of them?
I'm not a believer of the three-way. I think Lesnar's going to cost Rocky the match, so you're going to get Lesnar Rocky. I think Punk's going to hold on till Mania. That'll be Cena's way of getting a final one-on-one match with Punk straight up, no winner. You know, I know I've said it to you before. I could even see Austin as the ref for that. But I think you're going to get a really impressive showing from Ryback. And I am with you guys with Ryback Big Show for WrestleMania with the shell shock on the Big Show. I don't think Show's going to be champ by then. What I could see happening is Ryback eliminates Big Show in the Rumble, and Big Show pulls that move that they seem to do every other year. We'll come back in, eliminate Ryback, destroy him, and there's your match for WrestleMania with the two of them.
Interesting. Now, I'm not denying that there's a good possibility of Rock or Cena main eventing with Punk, but I am going to mention someone that no one has mentioned so far to win the Rumble, and I will say yes, I think it's going to be Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble. I think that he and Kane are bound to break up very soon, definitely before Mania. They will definitely be separated. Team Road Scholars will be the next tag team champions. And I would love to see Daniel Bryan win. We know that Vince McMahon wants him to be a major player in 2013, and this would be a great way. And what if Daniel Bryan and CM Punk main evented WrestleMania? They would put on probably one of the best Mania matches ever.
I actually just wrote an article on this on WrestleEnigma about like five potential Royal Rumble winners. You can go check that out on WrestleEnigma.com.
Yeah, I'm also working on my ranking the most likely Rumble winner candidates, and the three people mentioned throughout the four of us will definitely be on the list. But Daniel Bryan has grown so much. His popularity is off the charts, and I think he needs to be in the main event come WrestleMania.
You guys think we're going to go 30 or 40 men this year?
30.
Yeah. 30. If they haven't mentioned it at this point, we got to assume that it's going to be 30. I don't think it should be 40 ever again.
Unless the roster is this year, you've probably got the biggest roster to do it this year with a couple. I mean, with all the guys they've brought up, and you got a couple of surprises here and there, you've probably got the best roster to do it.
Well, last year I thought that they had enough, and they only did 30, and they gave spots to guys like Michael Cole. So, and when I thought that there were superstars who were left off out of the Rumble who could have done it. So they may have the roster to do it, but they don't always want to put all those guys in the Rumble.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
So you guys know,
Michael Cole,
just
Jerry
so you guys
Ball,
know, we're gonna go over time tonight. We're not gonna stop in 13 minutes. We're gonna keep going a little longer tonight.
Nice.
John, what were you saying?
No. I was agreeing with you about, you know, the 40 guys and how they have the roster to do. But yeah, they were giving bullshit spots away last year.
I do think that we should expect some guys to return, just like Booker T and Kevin Nash did. And Rojog made an appearance.
Did Duggan watch here?
Yes, I think he usually makes an appearance. We have yet another caller coming in. We're going to go ahead and take yet another caller here. Area code 203, you're on with PWP Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Seth? It's Graham. Sorry for calling in so late.
Graham, welcome to the show. Glad you're able to make an appearance. We're actually talking about our predictions for the Rumble winner. Do you have any early prediction for who you think is going to win the Rumble?
Interesting topic. I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately. The only guy that I have in mind as of right now, some people are saying the dark horse is Dolph Ziggler. That I find that very surprising, especially with the Money in the Bank briefcase. But some people are saying Daniel Bryan. I believe you said Daniel Bryan, Seth. But that'd be a pretty cool pick as well. But my money is on Ryback. I have to go with Ryback on this one after losing at Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, TLC. They got to give this guy some major momentum going into 2013. I think the Royal Rumble is the way to do it. If Big Show does indeed hold the World Championship till WrestleMania, Ryback versus Big Show obviously won't be Match of the Year, but even still, from what I've read, they want to go for that big moment, that big Mania moment with Ryback attempting to lift Big Show over his shoulders, and therefore Ryback can win the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's face it, I don't think Ryback will be WWE champion anytime soon, so putting the World Championship on him I think would be a great idea. So I'm going to have to go with Ryback for the 2013 Royal Rumble winner.
Interesting, and he's obviously a very popular choice. But here's the thing about the Royal Rumble winner. And I read Mike Chiari wrote about this a little bit today on Bleacher Report. Sometimes the Rumble winner is a guy who's already established, like Hulk Hogan when he won 2 years in a row. He was already established as the top guy. And Stone Cold Steve Austin won it while he was the top guy as well. But if you think about a guy like Sheamus and even Alberto Del Rio, when they won it, it helped bring them to the main event of WrestleMania. So with that, I don't think that Ryback needs to win the Rumble to face the Big Show at WrestleMania. I think that he is already a main event guy who can find a different way to be put into that match without winning the Rumble. Because whoever wins the Rumble is obviously going to choose whatever championship that they want to go up for. But what happens with the other world championship? How does that challenger come about?
Well
that's easy. Elimination chamber.
That's true too, yeah. I was going to go with the unlikely pick and say that CM Punk retains at Royal Rumble. I'd love to see him retain. I love The Rock, but if The Rock wins, I'm fine with it. But honestly, my dream booking is have CM Punk retain at Royal Rumble after John Cena unintentionally cost him the match. Then you have Punk versus Taker for the championship at Mania.
You have who at Mania?
For the Taker versus Punk for the WWE championship at Mania. Streak versus streak.
I really do not want to see that match.
Think it would happen. I don't think they're going to put Taker in a title match.
Yeah, because here's the problem. What do you do with the belt when Taker wins and wrestles once a year?
Right.
It's the same issue with The Rock, which is why Graham and myself, and I think as we get closer to the Rumble, more and more people really do think that CM Punk will retain against The Rock. These guys don't wrestle enough to be world champion.
And I'm not buying the whole he's gonna work Elimination Chamber and be at the Raws in between. I'm still not buying. I really think he's losing to Punk, hands down. Lesnar, this is the perfect spot for Lesnar.
Right, you're saying Lesnar. Graham's suggesting maybe John Cena cost him the match. I like the Lesnar idea because it does help set up a match for WrestleMania. Graham, if John Cena intentionally costs Rock the match, What are you seeing at Mania? Are you seeing this turning into a Rock Cena for the second time?
Unfortunately, yes. Don't get me wrong. I do not want to see them for a second time, but I have a very strong feeling it will happen. If it doesn't happen, what happens to John Cena? That's my only concern. If they don't do Rock versus Cena too,
Punk.
What else are they going to do? They're obviously not going to be able to Cena Taker this early. I honestly do not see them going that direction. Cena Punk. Has already been done numerous times. Lesnar Cena already been done. I don't know what they're going to do with Cena, quite honestly, if they don't have him go for Rock again. I'm not saying that Cena's going to turn heel if he intentionally costs Rock the match to Royal Rumble. Maybe he can develop a more edgier character, which he's in desperate need of. But I think that's the direction they're going. I don't want to see that over the championship. If it does happen over the title with Rock versus Cena, Cena wins back the championship at Mania, I guess that makes sense because Cena hasn't held the championship since last October. So it wouldn't be all that bad with Cena getting his victory back from last year. That makes sense, but if they don't do it for the championship and they do Rock versus Cena 2 in a grudge match, again, a rematch from last year, yes, it makes a once-in-a-lifetime thing feel meaningless, but I think that's the only direction they're going at this point.
I think the only way that you could see Rock and Cena again is if the title's on the line. I can't see them facing again for a second time without a championship involved in some way.
Here's the more important question for everyone who thinks Rock Cena 2. Cena would obviously win. When are you doing Rock Cena 3, the rubber match?
WrestleMania 30. Let's just do it 3 WrestleManias in a row.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
I don't even want to see it a second time, honestly.
Yeah, me either. And especially if that's in New Orleans, oh, forget it. You can't do Rock Cena 3 at WrestleMania 30.
Is that confirmed for WrestleMania 30?
It's looking that way.
For New Orleans?
New Orleans, I read
Cowboy Stadium's out. I read that it's New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, or L.A., but New Orleans is, like, the top one right now, especially because
yeah.
They would get, like, a significant tax credit because of all the money it would bring.
Right. Well, again, I think it was Sam who mentioned, you know, if you have the Rumble winner going for one of the championships, how do we get the other championship? Sam mentioned Elimination Chamber. John, how do you think we get the other one?
It's always been Elimination Chamber. One Elimination Chamber match has been for the title that's going to be defended at Mania, and one Elimination Chamber match is usually to determine the number one contender. I think the only time they didn't do that was last year when Sheamus came out and attacked Bryan, but usually that's how they've done it.
Right. And Graham, what was I going to ask you? In those situations, does the champion ever lose their title at Elimination Chamber? Because it seems like the feud gets set up at Royal Rumble, or I guess in last year's case, Sheamus did come out at the end, but still Daniel Bryan didn't lose his championship. Has the situation ever changed between Rumble and Mania, where the champion at Rumble was not the champion at WrestleMania?
That has happened in the past. That happened in 2010 with Jericho. That's what I'm saying. In 2010 when Sheamus lost the title to John Cena and Batista, it's happened before, but quite honestly, they need to get rid of that pay-per-view. They need to get rid of that pay-per-view. That pay-per-view this past year was completely meaningless. Punk retained, Daniel Bryan retained, Edge retained in 2011. The Elimination Chamber, as cool of a match as it is, it's an awesome match. Just the results of that pay-per-view are extremely predictable. It's unnecessary. It gets a low fire rate every single year. It's completely meaningless. They don't need it. So, I mean, just setting up the pay-per-view just by having, the Royal Rumble winners go for the champion at the time makes the most sense. So I don't really see Elimination Chamber playing a factor this year. I don't think anyone's going to have their championship change hands. If Punk was to lose his championship in that match, I'd be extremely disappointed and surprised. But I don't see that playing any major factor in this year's plans at all. Unless Sheamus
I agree with you. But I also think the Elimination Chamber is a very good gimmick pay-per-view. I don't like all of the gimmick pay-per-views, but I do like Elimination Chamber. So perhaps they should reconsider where in the calendar they have Elimination Chamber. I mean, we didn't need to have No Way Out. We could have had Elimination Chamber then instead.
Oh, that'd be a really good booking decision. Absolutely.
I do think you're going to do Elimination Chamber, though, and then Money in the Bank back-to-back months, though.
What's wrong with that?
I do think that the Elimination Chamber, I agree with you that last year's Elimination Chamber match was pretty pointless, being that, you know, that was very predictable. Everybody knew what was going to happen. Nobody, you know, no titles changed hands. But then I think back to, like, I think it was 2010, where Taker went in as World Heavyweight Champion, and then at the end, you know, it looked like he was about to win it, but then Shawn Michaels came out from underneath the ring, super kicked him, he lost the match, Jericho won, and right in there, it set up two of the main, you know, with that one move, it set up two of the main events for WrestleMania with that. So, like, I feel like Elimination Chamber is a good way because you got six of the top guys, you know, in the match. If they book it the right way, I think it's a good way to lead into a main event in WrestleMania. But, you know, when they do it like they did last year with the predictable endings and no titles changing hands or anything like that, nothing coming out of it, then I agree that it's a waste.
Yeah, and don't forget in 2010 on the WWE title side, remember, Triple H beat Sheamus in the chamber. And then, so that set up that match for WrestleMania, and then you had the thing with Cena and Batista, which set up the match for WrestleMania. So you're right. Realistically, you got the four of the top matches for WrestleMania out of those two chamber matches in 2010.
Right.
Right. Guys, just so you know, there's 1 minute left, but we are going to go over time, so just make sure you stay on the line. Austin, we haven't heard from you in a while. What's your take on Elimination Chamber as a pay-per-view?
I think a lot of you guys kind of pointed this out. It's an exciting match, and but it is, like last year's event, it was very predictable. Wasn't the best event to lead into Mania. I don't know what else to say. I mean, like you said, it could be repositioned in the calendar, put a different event there, because it is usually a rather predictable pay-per-view.
All right, well, this brings me to my next question, which is the pay-per-view schedule for WWE. I think we probably all agree that there are too many pay-per-views throughout the year for WWE. So how can they fix this? I personally think that they should have six pay-per-views throughout the year. You know, one every other month, so it's not, we would never have a situation like I think we had earlier this year where there was only 3 weeks between two of the pay-per-views. So you could definitely eliminate certain pay-per-views. I mentioned No Way Out, but I think you got to keep the big four. So which two of the other ones would you keep? Let's start with Graham.
Well, I'll first say this. TNA took a step in the right direction this past month by eliminating two of their pay-per-views. Obviously, they're not the most, company with the most money, so that was a wise booking decision on their part to get rid of some pay-per-views. As far as WWE, of course, we all know the pay-per-views. The only purpose that they serve is to make money off the pay-per-view buys, and pay-per-view buys have gone down significantly in the last few years. The pay-per-views such as SummerSlam that have champions, Hell in a Cell, I believe, they've gone up from last year, which is a good thing because we've had some great main events this past year. But as to what pay-per-views we should get rid of, I completely agree with you when you said No Way Out should be abolished. I hate the pay-per-view. That was probably the worst pay-per-view of the year, in my personal opinion. They should get rid of that. Maybe
which is
Money
unfortunate
in the Bank,
because Sam and I were there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were some good parts to it, but, I mean, overall, it was completely meaningless, and it was pretty predictable, too. But, yeah. I mean, as much as I love the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, 2010 it was good. 2011 in this past year, all great events. So I would mind a little bit if that got removed, but not all that much, because from what I've heard, they might be bringing it back this year, WrestleMania 29, to the actual Mania event. That'd be pretty cool, which I think it should be the way it should be. But I guess only time will tell as far as that goes. I mean, we'll have to find out in the next month or so. But even so, I think that might not be all that necessary, leading into a big, you know, that big, maybe a June pay-per-view into August SummerSlam pay-per-view would be great. Maybe Night of Champions, I like that pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell, maybe not. I find that kind of pointless, especially this past year. I mean, the Ryback versus the Ryback Punk match was kind of stupid. With Inside Hell in a Cell, I mean, I like the match, but Inside Hell in a Cell was unnecessary. Maybe Elimination Chamber, maybe move that on the other side of the card or the schedule, I should say. But Over the Limit, maybe, too. But there's quite a few pay-per-views that you just said before, Seth. You can do a pay-per-view every other month, and it makes the Raws more meaningful when you have that big rematch. Either you save it until the next pay-per-view, or you do it on Raw the very next month and you build into it. That's what's going to get you ratings. We just see the same old shit every single week, and we always say that they give away potential pay-per-view matches on Raw, such as Sheamus versus Wade Barrett, or John Cena, CM Punk, and stuff like that, you know? So I think it would increase the ratings if they held those big rematches from the pay-per-views on Raw, if they had pay-per-views every other month. I think that would be the best booking decision. That's what we got in, you know, before they had the huge, you know, the brand extension and whatever, or they started to merge together and we had Raw pay-per-views every other month. That's when it felt more prestigious and whatnot, so that was the one like pay-per-views every month. But now it's unnecessary, and I completely agree with you when you say that they should get rid of some pay-per-views, including No Way Out, maybe Elimination Chamber, and maybe Hell in a Cell as well.
Yeah, and you bring up some good points, because pay-per-views like Hell in a Cell, and I know there are others, that only had one of those matches on the entire card. Why can't you just put a Hell in a Cell match on a different pay-per-view? Case in point is Money in the Bank. I don't like Money in the Bank as a separate pay-per-view. I loved it that it was one match at WrestleMania, so that you had one Money in the Bank winner. You had one Mr. Money in the Bank, and you didn't know when he was going to cash in. Now it's every year you have two Mr. Money in the Banks, and guys like Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio were wrongfully given the briefcase only to have such a short championship reign. So matches like Money in the Bank, even Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell, they don't need to be their own pay-per-views. You can put those into the Big Four or create a Big Six and have those kinds of gimmick matches on those pay-per-views. John, what do you think? What would the ideal pay-per-view schedule be for WWE?
I don't know if you can get away with six. That might be a big shock to the system, and it may be a big shock to them financially. I get where he's going with that, you know, to make things more meaningful. I think that would be a nice long-term solution. But as far as immediate goes, I mean, if you think about it, they did a good thing over the last couple of years by getting rid of the second June pay-per-view and the second October pay-per-view. That was fine. As far as immediate, yeah, I could do without Over the Limit. I could also do without No Way Out. But I think for now, those are probably the only two I would drop and kind of baby step it first before doing something completely drastic, because, you know, losing all that pay-per-view money means they're going to have to cut money somewhere else, and, you know, you don't want it to be talent or, you know, production value or anything like that, so I would maybe cut two, and then let's see where we go from there.
That's a good point. Very good point. Sam, what do you think about what should the pay-per-view schedule be?
I agree. I agree that I think six is too less. I think maybe they could get away with eight to ten. I think you can take one. You could either do TLC or Extreme Rules, because they kind of pretty much serve the same purpose. You know, again, Over the Limit doesn't really, it's, you know, it doesn't really have any meaning. No Way Out doesn't really have any meaning. I agree. You know, put money in the bank back on WrestleMania. Not only is it a very exciting match, put it on first. When they put it on first, it got the crowd pumped. It started off with it started off with a big match. It makes it so that it gets a lot more guys on TV. So that's good. I also don't like the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I think Hell in a Cell should be used for type of matches like the end of an era match with Taker and Triple H. Those, you know, like really big matches, not just because they not just because there's a pay-per-view and now they have to have a Hell in a Cell match. I think that should be saved for like extremely special matches that are supposed to like really be like the end of like long-term storyline.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, they're not going to do it unless they until they lose money on a pay-per-view. They're not going to change from 12. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it's really hard for them. It would be surprising to see them cut anything because we just saw Raw increase from 2 hours to 3 hours. They have to have a very good reason to cut back. But you have a very good point that, you know, give some of these gimmick pay-per-views, you're forcing a storyline to have a certain gimmick match. Ryback's first main event match probably would have been better if it weren't in a Hell in a Cell. It probably would have been better if it was some other situation. And I think that was a complaint some people had. And a complaint that people have about the gimmick pay-per-views is they don't always match the storyline and the feud that's going on. Austin, what do you think about the pay-per-view schedule?
Well, if they're going to cut to six, like you said, Seth, I think my six would be the Big Four and then have the King of the Ring make a return. Like the winner of the big tournament gets a title match at Survivor Series, position that between SummerSlam and Survivor Series. And then I enjoy the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I think both Money in the Bank matches are usually top-notch. I think I enjoy it because then you're guaranteed to have two new world champions within the next year. I think it's a good pay-per-view. So I'd have Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, King of the Ring, and then every year with Survivor Series.
Yeah, that sounds pretty solid. Graham, what do you think about, you know, this idea that certain storylines and feuds are forced into certain gimmick matches because of the pay-per-view schedule?
Yeah, absolutely. I think eliminating some pay-per-views would definitely, elongate the feuds as a whole, make them feel more prestigious, build towards them. There's a lot of feuds that they throw on pay-per-views, just they build towards them. Like, as you said before, they've had pay-per-views, such as Survivor Series, where they build towards a match in 3 weeks, which is not good for the pay-per-view buys. They don't allow the fans to get into the feud, they don't invest into the feud, and stuff like that. So I definitely think that having the pay-per-views every other month, and as you guys said before, maybe not every other month is so early, maybe eliminate one or two first, and then you go from there. But, having the pay-per-views every single month rushes the feud, it bores the fans, it gets the feud stale very, really, really quickly. Big Show and Sheamus, that's still going on. They've had three matches on pay-per-view, from Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, TLC, and that's still going on going forward from here. So, I mean, if they had a few pay-per-views every few months, then from there, then they can elongate the feud, make it feel more prestigious, build towards it more, hype it up more, can't make the championships mean more because they're not being defended every single pay-per-view. And I know the whole 30-day rule and all shit like that, but they disregard that anyway, so I don't think that's a problem, but yeah, I completely agree. It rushes a feud. It's not good for the viewers. They can't invest in it in time. And I think having every other pay-per-view every other month would really benefit WWE in the long term as far as feuds go and storylines.
Absolutely. Well said by everyone here tonight on PWP Radio, our final episode of 2012. I hope that Sam, John, Austin, Grimm, we all get a chance to continue on PWP Radio in 2013. I want to wish you guys a happy holidays to you and your family and friends, and the entire ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Jay and everyone wishes everyone a happy holidays. Any last remarks before we go off? John?
Yeah, let's cross our fingers here. It looks like Triple H has not given up on Bruno in the Hall of Fame. Supposedly they may have met in Pittsburgh earlier this week. Let's hope. That needs to happen, especially in MSG. I've heard a figure that it may take. It's not too bad, all things considering. Let's hope Hunter gets this done. That'd be something nice to look forward to in 2013.
Yeah, I have to give him a lot of credit. He's been doing a lot of great stuff recently. Sam, any last remarks for the end of 2012 for WWE going into 2013?
No, I hope this whole TNA lawsuit thing gets taken care of, because, you know, I really think that there are some quality talent who are just not properly utilized in TNA, and I think they could be better utilized in WWE. So hopefully they get that done with, so that there could be some crossovers.
Seth, can I give you something on that?
Yeah.
TNA, like I said earlier, has not touched the lawsuits in August, and the "we're not going to hire anyone from TNA" has been thrown out the window. So you may get what you wish for in next year.
That'd be great. I think that there are definitely guys who, or even girls, who would benefit from either going from WWE to TNA or TNA to WWE. So that would be a great situation going into 2013. Austin, what do you have to say about WWE and the end of 2012 going into 2013?
I'm just going to say that I think the beginning of 2013 has a lot of potential for WWE with Punk Rock at the Rumble, with all that WrestleMania has with Rock and Punk and Cena and Undertaker and all those guys fighting at WrestleMania. So I'm looking forward to 2013 for WWE, and I think they definitely ended on a high note of the live Raw Monday night, the great show. Probably not even going to watch Raw the next 2 weeks. Probably won't even start till the new year. So,
absolutely. And Graham, your thoughts on the end of 2012 for WWE going into 2013?
Well, looking back at 2012 in WWE, I think personally it's been a great year. Maybe not so much in January. And if 2013 does not kick off to a hot start as many expect it would, because we saw a lot of hot starts in 2010. 2011, 2012, not so much. January wasn't the best month for WWE and TNA respectively, but they went off hot. They went off hot of WrestleMania 28, and it's been going great since the summer as well. So I got to say, 2012 has been a great year in wrestling, maybe not the greatest year in quite a while, but I think it has been a great year. And as far as pay-per-views, we've had Punk and Champion all year. As much as a lot of people from the IWC like to complain about a lot of shit, you have to be thankful for CM Punk and Paul Heyman, Dolph Ziggler as your Mr. Money in the Bank, all the face and heel turns that we've seen over the past year. Of course, WWE has its flaws, but they've improved a lot over the last year with a lot of great pay-per-views, including WrestleMania 28, Extreme Rules, Night of Champions, and most recently TLC. And as you guys were just saying as well, TLC was the perfect way to end 2012 on a very high note, as well as the Slammy Awards on Monday night. That was one hell of a show, incredibly insane. Really enjoyed that. And with the returns of Ric Flair, the debut of Big E Langston, The Shield, and as Austin just said, 2013 has a lot of potential. I'm really looking forward to what next pay-per-view is, the Royal Rumble, one of the most unpredictable, highly anticipated pay-per-views of the year. Really looking forward to that. And then we're on the road to WrestleMania 29, so I'm looking forward to that. And, as you just said, happy holidays to everybody, and we'll see you in the new year.
Absolutely, and I agree with you, Graham. 2012 was a fantastic year for WWE. I also agree that it started out slow, but it really picked up, especially at the end this fall. I think they've made a lot of improvements, and going forward, it seems like they really are looking into the future, thinking about the superstars of the future, letting guys like Ziggler go over Cena for the Money in the Bank briefcase was the right move. They've been making a lot of great decisions. Also thankful, you know, 2012 was the year that I started doing all my writing and this podcasting and everything. So very thankful for that. And like you guys said, 2013 is looking very good to start. The Rumble should be a very good one. A lot of interesting potential winners for the Rumble match, and a lot of different possibilities for WrestleMania, which Sam and I will be attending in Giant Stadium. So that's also very exciting. So thank you all again for being on the show. Graham, would you like to do some cheap plugs?
Absolutely. You guys can like me on Facebook, Graham GSM Matthews. I'm on Twitter, @TheImmortalSports_GSM, sending with touts. Report as well as by searching Graham GSM Matthews on YouTube at Ted DiBiase, Priceless 9. You guys can check out my website, nextwrestling.weebly.com, and I have my own show that airs every Wednesday night, or at least not until 2013. We start back on January 2nd on pw247.net in 10 o'clock Eastern Time, p.m. that is. And, yeah, Seth, thanks a lot for having me on the show. Really do appreciate it. I had a great time, and I'll see you guys in the new year. Happy holidays as well.
Thank you, Graham. Austin, any plugs you want to give us? I know you're writing for Wrestle Enigma.
Yeah, just check out WrestleEnigma.com. I just wrote an article on the Royal Rumble today. You can follow me on Twitter at A-Rob, A-R-O-B, Enigma, E-N-I-G-M-A. I live tweet most Raws and SmackDowns. Probably won't be starting until the new year. You can follow me. I'll tweet a lot about wrestling and a bunch of other stuff, too. So you can follow me, and I'll usually follow back. So.
Very good. John, any plugs for you?
No, I'll see you, and let's pick it up again in the new year, my man. What are we doing?
Very
the
good.
Second, or are we doing the ninth?
That's to be determined, but for those listeners, we are definitely taking next week off. And it's still to be determined if we'll start again on the 2nd or the 9th. But it will definitely be one of those. So once again, thank you guys. Thank you, listeners. Have happy holidays. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you.
And thanks for the birthday wishes.
Happy birthday, John.